passed kidney stones last night and had a rough night. And so we can pray for him. But we're also going to have to move the annual vision meeting. We're going to move it to November 1st, so it's not going to happen today. November 1st, it'll be the same time. We're going to start, let me just be sure I have the details right here. Dinner will begin at 5:30 on November 1st. It will not begin at 5:30 tonight. Okay. 5:30, November 1st, we'll have dinner. And then 6:15, about 45 minutes in, we'll dismiss the kids to childcare. So childcare begins at 6:15. And we will have the kids in childcare, and then we will begin the meeting at 6:30. Okay? It should go until about 9 o'clock. Again, this is November 1st. This will go until about 9 o'clock. So 6:30 to 9 o'clock. Could end earlier, but we like to have that time reserved. Okay? We do need some items for the potluck for the annual vision meeting, which is November 1st, not today. That time it was funny, huh? I've been trying that all morning. So we need some food items. So if you can please sign up for our potluck at the annual vision meeting, we'd love to have you contribute. I know many of you are great in the kitchen. I've experienced it myself. So I would appreciate that if you'd sign up for that. And this morning, what we really wanted to do was take some time and just kind of remember and recall and remind ourselves of God working. You see this throughout the Bible, right? God tells Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, I want you to build an altar, right? And the altar was to remind them, a physical something that reminded them of what God had done. And why is it so important for us to be reminded about what God has done in the past? Well, it's important because as we live today and we doubt God, we doubt God's presence, we fear, maybe we have a future that's uncertain, we question God. God, where have you gone? God, have you changed? Have you changed the plan? Has anybody ever thought that? Had that? Okay, I'm the only one. Okay. Well, part of remembering is recalling and remembering how great God is and how faithful he is. He is the one who is faithful, right? Even when we are faithless. And so we want to spend today reminding ourselves of how faithful God is and how amazing he is. We're going to have some different people share what God's been doing in their life, various age groups, which I'm really excited about. And then we're going to spend the second half of the service remembering kind of what God has done from the Old Testament and from other people's lives, okay? And hopefully, what we're hoping is as we approach annual vision meeting on November 1st, that it will be a time where we look forward and say, God, we've seen what you've done in the past, we've seen what you've done in our church, and we look forward with anticipation with what you're going to do in the future. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let me I'm going to start out with a reading of the Psalms. Let me invite Lauren to come on up.
So this is Psalms 34, 1 through 8. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
If you've been around Long Beach Alliance for a while, you know that ministering to kids is one of the ways that God uses our church. We do VBS or Awana midweek or the Gospel Project on Sunday mornings. God has blessed us with training our kids a certain way and training them in the gospel. So it's been just a privilege for me to just kind of watch God work. And I wanted to have someone from our children's ministry come and share a little bit about what they're learning what God's teaching them. So I'd like to invite Darby McDougall and her friend Liv up front. You guys can sit down here. These are Darby's parents, Ian and Missy McDougall. They're the ones yelling instructions from the... How you doing, Darby?
Good.
How you doing, Liv?
Good.
Okay, so Darby and Liv, you guys are in Awana. You're in the Gospel Project. You guys went to VBS. Can you just share with us a little bit about what God's been teaching you, what you've been learning?
That sin is really bad.
Yeah, that sin is really bad. And why? Do you know why sin's really bad?
Not really.
Yeah, sin is really bad. Let me ask you, Darby, what does that teach you about God? Just learning about sin and some of the things you've learned. What's something you've learned about God?
He's really, really powerful.
Yeah, he's powerful. That's a good lesson. What about you, Liv? What have you learned from the Gospel Project? This isn't rehearsed, okay? Just so you know. What's up? Okay. All right. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. Can you go ahead and have a seat? Awesome. But, you know, it's very important for us, you know, to help our kids understand some of these things, right? To understand something like sin and how God is powerful. Those are good lessons that we want our kids to know, right? While I was attending the new members class, I was becoming a new member, and I met someone named Linda Prouty. Is she here? Linda, come on up. Linda is amazing. She was taking the new members class, and I sat at her table and got to hear a little bit about her story. And I was amazed at what God's been doing in her life as well. And I asked her to share a little bit about that. So, Linda, hi.
Appreciate the stool. Good. Well, good morning. I don't know very many of you because I haven't been here very long. And I go to the first service and sit in that kind of back corner area. So for all of you that sit in other places, hello. Hope to meet you one of these days. Well, Matt asked me to share a story, he said, about the last year. But I'd really like to go back a little further. I came from a really lovely Christian family and got married in my early 20s and had a good husband and two great, remarkable kids, just like yours are. And in 1998, my husband and I were going on a plane trip to visit his brother on the East Coast. And the whole trip we were going there, we were talking about what we were going to do when we had the empty nest. And we were really trying to figure out a way to serve our God in our local community. So that was kind of our plan. We're brainstorming on this trip. Well, we got off the plane, and 3 hours later, he died of a massive heart attack. So I came back home alone and had to raise two teenagers, 15 and 19 at the time. I went through some really tough times. Amazingly, the psalm that we read this morning, 34, is what I read over and over and over again. And I think one of God's gifts to me during that time was on my worst day of grief, I found this scripture. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. That's from 1 Peter 5:10. So that was my verse for 15 years. I just was over and over and over remembering how he was strengthening me and helping me get through. Let me flip over a little bit. Okay, now I'm going to have a flash to 2014. I was feeling pretty optimistic that my life was on firm foundation, and all of a sudden I got a diagnosis that I had stage 1 breast cancer. Well, I instantly decided that I would move to Long Beach because my kids had both gotten married and both settled in Long Beach. And that was a no-brainer to move here. So I thought, you know, I'm going to be with them for my treatment and to be with family. I knew there would be good medical care here. Soon after I began going to doctors, they found out that my cancer had spread to other organs in my body, and I was in a stage 4. So I, last year, went through 24 chemo treatments, and on the very last day, Satan stepped right in there the day before my last treatment and zapped me with Bell's palsy in my face. And if you saw me last year, you probably thought I'd had a stroke because my face was droopy and I still have a little Popeye smile that is my signature now. You know, ladies, those of you that are vain like I was and thought this was my really good side for pictures, I got zapped on this side, so have to turn on this way now. Well, I really was, after last year, getting through all the side effects and resting a lot and getting a lot of support, and I was feeling pretty optimistic and stronger, but I found out last month that my cancer has returned to my liver. And as my lovely Middle Eastern doctor says, Linda, you have a chronic condition. And I silently say, yes, but I have a God of miracles. So I am counting on that, and I'm back in treatment once again. So you want to ask me your question?
I was speechless when you were sharing with me before and, you know, at the new members class. And I think one of the things that I just noticed that you just had a lot of joy. You just came up to me and started talking to me and said, yeah, I'm Linda, and I'm Matt, and we started talking, and I just thought, wow, what a powerful testimony of where you are and the peace you have and the confidence you have that Christ is your foundation. And I appreciate that you really are living that out, and I want to acknowledge that I saw that in you just in our brief encounter. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about where you're at now? How are you feeling and what God's doing?
Well, my journey has been one of hope with an abundance of challenges and trials thrown in the mix. And I'm sure it's not unlike your life. There's always something that's coming up. And my friend taught me that Satan is the intensifier of our human weaknesses. So that's when I have to really fight back. And I get feelings of discouragement and defeat. Sometimes I have dreams that I'm going to die soon, but normally I don't think about that. But I just came across the other day, Exodus 14, the Lord will fight for you. So he's fighting for me. And Paul reminds us that our strength and power are perfected in weakness. So I feel kind of wimpy, but I think inside I'm very strong from being weak physically. Hebrews 6:19, we have hope as an anchor for our soul. And that's been something that's been really important to me. His encouragement has come to me through scripture, a lot of which I've shared with you. Music really speaks to my heart. That's my love language with the Lord. Prayer warriors that are praying for me. I have them all up and down the state. Bible studies, my community of encouraging believers, family. I have some long-term friends in Orange County where I lived many years ago. And God always seems to send the Holy Spirit to help and comfort me just when I really need that. But he has shown me over the years that my job is to demonstrate my faith by trust and obedience. And his job is the outcome. I don't have any control over curing cancer, but he could if he wanted to. I want to live the last part of my life victoriously and fruitful for as many remaining years as God has chosen for me, and because I know he doesn't let me down, and he's my constant encourager. So my theme verse during this last season that I've been in is from Psalm 62:5-6. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. And I will not be shaken.
Powerful. Yeah. Thanks, Linda. One more question. Why membership?
Okay. Well, I can't be in a fight alone, so I need all of you to help me, to pray for me. And I know there are other people in this room that have cancer right now, I'm quite sure. Maybe you don't want to admit it, but or share it with very many people. I know I kept mine quiet in this last year, and I'm now feeling a little bit more comfortable about sharing it. But I think we need to encourage anyone that has cancer or other serious illnesses and pray for them. But I need community, and I need some new friends. I spent a lot of time in bed last year, and I need to have some new friends, and hopefully I can get somewhat more involved in this church.
Awesome. Well, you've got some friends.
Good.
Yeah. I want to pray for you, and I'm blown away by your confidence in God and what He's doing, and thank you for sharing your story and sharing it with me. Let me pray. God, I thank you for being faithful, and we praise you, God, for being the faithful one in our relationship with you. God, I pray for Linda. I ask that you give her strength. I ask that you give her peace. Lord, and help us as a church to live in a way that shows her that she's not alone. That she won't ever walk alone, that she'll be with us, that she's a part of the family. God, we also pray for Darby and Liv, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen their faith and their belief and trust in you, that you are a powerful God and that you can overcome sin and that you have. God, we pray for our children's ministry and for us as a church family, Lord, as we look toward next year. We ask that you would show up in new ways and show us that you're faithful in ways that we haven't seen yet. God, we need you so badly, and thank you again for this morning and our ability to just get together and worship and acknowledge you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you. Yeah.
Linda is a new member, so congratulations, Linda. Linda's a new member, of the family. We're going to have the members come up in a little while and kind of acknowledge them. But I think membership is sort of a strange term because they're really now members of the family, right? We don't say that our kids have membership in our family, but they are members of our family now. And we are a small family in some ways, but we are big enough where we can take care of each other. And we all have different needs, and I think that's been our prayer, even as a staff, as we go into next year, that God would really teach us to be a family, this new kind of family that Chris has been talking about, right? That God is forming, God is making a new family in Jesus, and that's a radical statement, isn't it? So we pray that that God would give us and show us His faithfulness in that. At this time, I'd like to invite the new members. Not yet. Hold on. This is what I'm going to do. I'd like to invite the new members to come forward as I call your name. In the New Testament, the Bible says that we are members of a family, right? That we are members of a body, a part of a body. Paul gives us the image of a body and how different parts of the body work together, and they're not separate, right? So the eyeball is not separate from the nose. That would be kind of weird. So what Paul is saying there is not one of us is the entire body, that we all have gifts, we all have personalities, we all have life experiences that shape us in a certain way, and we are made to be together at this point in history for the glory of God. And so these members are saying, we want to be a part of that body. We want to be a part of this body here that has these values, these distinctives, this love for Jesus. And we want to see Long Beach reach for Christ. So I'm excited. I got to meet a lot of these guys, and it's exciting. Okay, so let me read their names, and then have you guys come forward if you're in the room here. Hopefully they're all in here. Maria Anderson, come on forward. Okay, Hi, Maria. You guys can go ahead and, if you can just stand right up here in front of the communion table. That'd be great. C. and Dirk Bean. Jonathan Brennan. Claudia McPherson. Matthew Dixon. Paula Dudek. Shauna McCollum. Marika and Rob Osterman. Pamela Villanueva. Linda Prouty. Daylene and Einar Richter. Brady and Kimberly Ryan. All right, this is exciting because these guys are bringing gifts, they're bringing talents, they're bringing their desire to see the Lord work into our family, and we as a family are welcoming them and encouraging them and working together with them for the gospel, right? So let me pray for them, and as they commit to us as a family, we commit to them, right? So let me pray. God, I thank you for this, the wonderful mystery that you've revealed in the New Testament through Paul, that we are a body, that we are your body. Jesus, when you were here, you said you were the light of the world, and when you left, you said to the disciples that they were the light of the world. And we know that that's true for us as a church, that we as a body are the light of the world to the community around us. That is mysterious. That is amazing. But God, you are going to need to show up because we don't know how to do that very well. And so would you teach us, Lord, in our culture to be radically different, to commit to one another. I pray for these new members of our church. God, I pray that they would be received by our body. Many of them have been involved in ministry here for some time. Some are new. But God, I pray that this step that they've taken would take them even further in their commitment to you. And then, God, I pray for us as a church that we would come around them and let them know that they are part of the family. And, God, if there's needs that arise, I pray that you would help us as a body to take care of them. We thank you again for the gifts you've given us in these new members, and we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to be reading Psalm 77, 11-15. If you want to follow along. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people.
Got a couple more people that we wanted to have share what God's been doing. So let me invite up Bronson Garrell. Bronson? Okay. This is Bronson Garrell. He's been an amazing help to me personally. Been an encouragement just in serving in the Gospel Project, serving in VBS. I mean, I just see him serving in a lot of different places, and it was just really encouraging to me when I first got here, and it's been encouraging. So thank you, Bronson. Thanks, Scott. Bronson, I asked you just share a little bit about what God's been doing in your life and what he's been teaching you.
First, I really wish I had taken public speaking classes in college because I'm terrible at this. My voice is going to sound like it's shaky, and it is. The first thing, though, like I wanted to kind of tell you guys a quote where I was reading that, where Chris was reading that verse where Jesus just looks at all the people that are listening to me, says, "These are my brother and my sisters and my mother." That's really how I've seen him. He's really helped me in opening my eyes to what family is, because we even have this quote where it says, "What makes us family?" And when I looked at that, I was like, you know, that's interesting. That one word means so many different things to so many different people. Like for some of you, it might be a terrible thing. It might be a destroyed, devastated, wrecked thing. I am fortunate, though, the Lord was good enough to, from the foundation of the earth, be able to say, well, no, for that, for Bronson, it will be a pleasurable experience, an experience of warm feeling, of just good times, of times at the apple farm. Those of you who have been with us know about this. You know, just a lot of good stuff for me. And My dad has a saying of where he's the little G. He's the little God. He is the reflection of what the Father is supposed to be like to us. Yeah, I know. Those of you who don't know my dad, you are probably new to this church, so, or you're under a rock. But he does that little G thing. But one thing the Lord really helped with me as we went over and as I went through this family time with Chris as he's going through this message with us, as it extends even more to that. I truly believe that God gave us not just the Father to reflect, you know, how He is with us, but He gave the family, the earthly family reflects the heavenly family. You know, we see like that whole aspect is that He, the way He instructs differently. Like my dad teaches differently to us. We're not all treated the same. That's not how it works. You can't treat everyone the same because we're different people. I've seen him. You know, for some of us are more receptive, and so he seems nicer. And for the ones that are, he is nice. and then for those of us that are a little more hard-headed, it looks a little harsher. But it is all meant for one goal, to get us to where we need to be. And that's kind of how I've also noticed as I walk with God, is that He's teaching me differently than He teaches other people, and the same goes for you. You're going to be taught differently than I'm going to be taught, and He definitely has taught me. One of His biggest things is He knows His kids. He knows us very well, and so for me, I tend to be a little more like, I try to get to a point and just kind of settle and just sit and chill, and He won't let me do that. Every time I get comfortable in my walk with Him, He throws a new thing in there to kind of like shake it up and make me have to trust Him a little bit more and a little bit more and take a little bit more. For those of you who don't know, I recently got engaged to a beautiful young lady. So that was new. I had just started getting comfortable, like being single and just enjoying my time. And all of a sudden, He puts out this girl that I can't resist from going out with and asking her to marry me. And now I've got this other person now that I'm worried about in my faith. Because I can worry about me easily. It's easy to worry about me. It's hard worrying about someone else. And so I have had to really extend my faith I've really had to grow in my faith in order to make that kind of work out. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that. Other than that, I've really have seen Him though, as I've noticed that this is now all, you are all my family. And that I get to enjoy these times with you. I mean, I can't tell you how many of you have all come up to me and been like, oh, we're so happy for you, we're so happy for you. And that is an awesome thing. And that is truly one of the gifts that God has given us. And that, I think, is what makes us family. We all have different stories that all circle around the central figure of Jesus, which is pretty cool. I really loved the testimony that came earlier. That you are a stud. Like, that's... That is really, really good, and that's really touching. Yeah.
Thanks, Bronson. Thank you. Linda, stud is a good thing. Just so you, yeah, just want to make that clear. Thanks, Bronson. I appreciate that. I didn't notice that you don't have any public speaking skills. I thought you did a great job. And thanks for sharing about your fiance and what God's been doing in your life. And it's amazing. It's just encouraging. It's encouraging to hear that. My last person that I want to invite up is C. Bean. Come on up. C is, she's also volunteering in the Gospel Project, working with kids in different areas, doing VBS. She works with her husband, Dirk, up here. And they pretty much run the Gospel Project. They do a great job of working with our kids in the big group time, and my kids definitely, Dirk and C, are their favorites. Don't tell them I said that, but C is going to share just a little bit about what she's, how she's seen God working in her life.
Okay, I have a big mouth until I get in front of a group of people, and then it goes away. So if I sound like I'm going to pass out or have a heart attack, it's probably because I am. Anyway, really what God laid on my heart to speak about is most of you know we came here 5 years ago. Yes, it took us long to be members. I'm sorry, but we better late than never. So here we are, and our marriage and our family was in a state of crisis when we came here. We showed up, and LBAC and mentors, they dug their feet in the sand and said, "We're going to stand with you, and we're going to fight this battle with you because we love you." And they didn't even know us. And that was crazy to us, but it was really the gospel. So to us, it was love in action. And by God's grace, we're here today, strong, serving in ministry. We're not perfect. We actually had an argument this morning, but we're married, and but anyway, this church has just blessed us so much. It's changed who I am as a person. I was blessed enough in my time of crazy to have two mentors, not just one. I needed two at the moment, and so I've developed these relationships with them that are priceless. And before I came here, I never even had a mentor in my life. I didn't even know what that meant, and I was saved later on in life. And so I didn't get to experience anything like the Gospel Project or VBS or anything like that. So I'm living vicariously through my children also here, because it's a first time experience for me. But the way that LBAC, just Pastor Chris and just all the pastors and elders and mentors have poured into our life has changed us, and continues to change us and minister to us and helps us become the parents and the wife and husband and the children of God we need to be. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, C. Can you tell us just a little bit about just moving forward, like how can we be praying for you guys as a family? And, you know, is there anything, you know, that you guys need?
Right now, we have been asked to do a lot of things and participate in a lot of ministries. And Dirk and I, we really have a heart for theater. And as you well know, with VBS, and my husband is just the rock star speaker, and he can do it all. He's now a TNT director. He also runs Gospel Project. I'm more the backs office kind of girl. You know, I like to be the support, and I like control, so I like to kind of organize everything. And so, but that the Lord would really give us direction, specific direction, because Scott Slade just said to us in our meeting, and it's just stuck with me, that if you're chasing two rabbits, you're going to lose them both. And I walked out of that thinking, you know what, Lord, like I don't want to lose what you have for me and what you have for us as a family. So we just want God to be really clear where he wants us to invest, because it's important. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, C. I think one of the things I just want to make clear as I'm wrapping up here is just that, you know, we were talking about Long Beach Alliance Church, and the reason that we can say that there are some great things happening here, I think we all know this, but it's assumed that we know that Jesus has done great things in us, and it allows us to do great things and allows us to see him work in other people's lives. So my wife and I, we've been here 6 months, and just so we're clear, I am not Jesse Duckett. I have been asked how the move from Oregon was a few times. I just got to the point where I just started saying, great. It's great. But I think one of the things that Laurel and I, we've just been blown away by your hospitality and seeing God work in you. And I just want to encourage all of us as we look forward, you know, to November 1st, our annual vision meeting, that as we look forward to that, we're going to push still more. We're going to excel still more, like the New Testament says, right? That we have more to go, and God has more to do through us. So it's an exciting time, exciting season for us as a church. Okay, Jesse? This is Jesse Duckett.
Good morning. Again, my name is Jesse. I am the youth pastor here. It is my honor to be able to walk you through communion this morning. We've been talking about remembering, and I love remembering. Remembering is fun. I don't always remember to remember, but I love the idea of remembering. In fact, I say it a lot in my family. I've said it to my youth group a ton of times. To be able to look back and remember those ways that God has shown up in your life, especially when things get hard, when things get down, we get frustrated, or we get lost and we lose hope. To remember those ways that God has shown up, the way that God has led you and brought you to the spot that you're at right now. And I love the Jewish traditions of the feasts. I love remembering what God has done. I love eating. Eating is one of my favorite things to do. And so I love the different feasts that the Jewish, that they remember, all the different ways that God had shown up through their entire history, and including at Passover. And it's at Passover that we find Jesus sitting down with his disciples. And I'll be reading from Luke 22. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Later, we find Paul correcting some theology for the Corinthians, and he gives instruction for the Lord's Supper in the same way, and he concludes at the end, he says, "And when you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." There are four things that I want to point out in regards to communion. First of all, actually this isn't one of the four, but communion is very important. It is a big deal. It is an important thing that we get to do as Christians, to remember what the Lord has done. And there are four key components to communion. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, and so I'm going to just share them with you. The first is the easiest: eating and drinking. Easiest thing, pretty self-explanatory. When we come to communion, there's eating of the bread and drinking of the juice or wine or whatever it is that that you have. The second makes this an active thing. Communion is an active thing. We get to participate actively in it when we remember. A lot of times during communion, I know that I have found myself this way, especially when I was younger, that during communion, when it was time to pray, it was a time where I felt like I needed to confess sins, or I needed to figure out what I was going to eat for lunch later that day, or my mind would wander. But here, this aspect of communion allows us to really focus, to remember what the Lord has done. And specifically here with communion, to remember the cross. We remember the trials, the beatings, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and that glorious resurrection to save us. We get to remember those things. During communion, we get to actively remember what Christ did for us on that day, on that cross. Next is to participate. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread." Participation in communion is unity. Unity with Christ and unity with others, with each other here in this body. Later on, Paul goes, when he's correcting the Corinthians in their teaching, he's got some pretty harsh words for them in regards to communion. The Corinthians would often leave their brothers and sisters on the side, hungry, starving, without things. Paul's like, you're missing it. You're partaking in the blood and the body of Christ, but you're leaving your brothers and sisters on the side, wanting, needing. When we participate in communion, we are doing this together. We've heard it already said a number of times this morning that we here are a family. We are a body of Christ. We are many people, many parts. We come from different places, different stories. But we are together. And we are unified by the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we come together, it is for unity. And so really we need to take an opportunity to examine ourselves before we come to the table. Are we involved or are we experiencing any kind of disunity? Do we know of people in need where God has blessed us, but we have yet to help out? Do we have issues with our brothers and sisters? Are we holding grudges? The things that we need to ask ourselves before we come to the table. Because the table, this here, is very important. And the final thing of communion is that we are proclaiming the Lord's death. We get to shout this. We don't do communion privately. This is very publicly. Anybody who is on the streets, anybody who is not a believer is more than welcome to come in here and watch us and to be a part of our services. But when it comes to the table, this is for believers. And we are proclaiming to those who have yet to accept Christ that we have a Savior who loves us and who has died for us. And that we are new. We are bonded together as a family because of this. And so if any one of those first three things are missing, if we are not taking, we're not eating of the bread, drinking of the wine or the juice, if we're not participating in unity, if we're not remembering, what really are we proclaiming? This table is very serious. It is an awesome thing and an awesome way to remember the things that God has done for us. We're going to do communion like we normally do, and afterwards we'll do benevolent offering the same way. And so right now we're going to take a moment, though, and I want you to examine your heart. Paul asks the Corinthians to do that as well as I'm going to ask us to do it right now. To search your heart, see if there's any disunity. See if there's something that needs to be taken to the Lord before you can come to the table. If so, if there's somebody that you need to reconcile with and that person isn't here, it is okay to not do communion this time. It is better to reconcile with your brother first and then come to the table together. So we're going to take a moment. We're just going to reflect. We're going to examine. And then when the music starts, then you'll be free to stand up and come do communion. We do this as a family, right? So group up with your family, with a group of friends, and come to the table together. Pray together. Take the elements together. And then we will wait, right? So as we come together, we wait for those in front of us to go. And as they move, then you come in. We do the whole thing. And then we'll all come back to our seats. And when we're finished there, then we'll walk through the benevolent offering. And so be thinking, even right now, if there is a burden God has placed on your heart for another family, to not let this time go by where you think I'll do it later. This will be the time. But I'll talk about the benevolent offering in a second. If you are unable to get up, unable to make it to one of the tables, if you would just raise your hand, I will be more than happy to come serve you communion. All right, so at this time, I would encourage you to bow your heads. We're going to spend some time examining our own hearts, and then we'll begin communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us such a gift. Thank you for choosing to rescue us at such a great cost. Your love for us was so great that you were willing to go to the cross. As we join you at the table this morning, Lord, I pray that we are able to remember and reflect on the way that you willingly laid your life down for us. May this time bind our church together closer than it has before. That as we draw closer to you, we draw closer to each other. Bless this church, Lord. Show us yourself through communion. Show us yourself through our unity. In your name we pray. Amen. Please come to the tables. There's two in the back and two in the front. At this time, if I could have the ushers come forward. We're going to now pass the bags for the benevolent offering. This is our opportunity to give above and beyond for families in need, for different specific needs around the church. And so if you feel compelled by the Holy Spirit to give, please do so. And let me pray for the offering, and then the ushers will begin to pass. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have given us, both in your grace as well as financially. We pray now that as we think about giving, as we actually give, that you would bless it. That the money that is given for this benevolent offering will go where exactly you need it to go. That by extension, you would be blessing families through our giving. Thank you, God. Amen.